Hello, Bristol Bay. Happy Saturday. It's July 7th. Welcome to the weekend edition of the Bristol Bay Fisheries Report. I'm your host, Austin Fast. Coming up this afternoon, the Naknek Quijack District is closed, and the Naknek River Special Harvest Section will open tonight in an effort to boost Quijack sockeye escapement.
We're missing some major components of that run, and it's almost certainly below forecast.
Last Saturday, I had a very special musical guest live in studio, and we're keeping the artsy weekend vibe going. Electronic artist Abayu Moore explains how living a subsistence lifestyle honors her Yupik heritage and inspires her painting.
When you're seeing fish go into your net, you just get this... Each splash is like a splash of butterflies just like bursting in your stomach, you know? You're just so happy and you can't help but laugh, like you're tickled.
And that's all coming up on this weekend edition of the Bristol Bay Fisheries Report.
The Bristol Bay Fisheries Report is brought to you by the Bristol Bay Regional Seafood Development Association. Ensuring long-term growth is the world's greatest salmon fishery through investment in Bristol Bay science, infrastructure, marketing, and quality. The Bristol Bay RSDA, we're on board with you.
Let's start off the show, as always, with the all-important numbers. Friday's total catch across the five districts of Bristol Bay was 1.57 million sockeye. Continuing the trend of the past couple weeks, the bulk of that was caught in the Nooshigak District, 1.1 million fish. In fact, all week long, the Noosh has been trending over or pretty close to a million sockeye a day. The season total red catch for the Nooshigak is now at 12.4 million, already surpassing last year's record harvest of 12.3 million. And now for the Nooshigak escapement. First on the agenda, we've got Chinook. 1,700 kings passed the Portage Creek sonar yesterday, bringing the season total to 77,000. Red escapement logged 51,000 Friday for a season total of 518,600. 19,500 chum made it up the Nooshigak, bringing the season total to 520,500. The Wood River Counting Tower spotted 393,000 sockeye yesterday and another 54,000 before 6 a.m. this morning. Season total is now at 3.8 million. The Agushik Tower saw 18,400 reds yesterday with another 4,500 before 6 a.m. today. That brings the cumulative total to 184,000 for Agushik Towers. All rivers combined, Nooshigak escapement has hit a cumulative 4.8 million. Total run to the Nooshigak District is now 17.3 million out of a preseason estimate of 21.8 million. We've come a long way since last Saturday, that's for sure. Out at the Togiak Tower, they started counting on the 4th of July. Yesterday, that crew saw 1,800 sockeye and another 936 by 6 a.m. this morning. That puts season total escapement for Togiak at 3,500. In terms of catch for Togiak, on Friday they hauled in 8,200 fish for a season total of 45,900. Heading over to the east side, in Igigik, fishermen landed 233,000 sockeye on Friday. That brings the season total there to 1.5 million reds. Igigik River escapement yesterday was 130,800 sockeye. That pushes it over the minimum escapement goal for the season. Cumulative total for the Igigik River is now 834,000. In-river estimate stands at 120,000. Add that all up, and the total run to Igigik District so far is 2.5 million out of a preseason forecast of 9.1 million. Next door, in the Naknek Quijack District, fishermen caught 210,000 reds on Friday. Season total now sits at 1.1 million from a preseason forecast harvest of 8.9 million. Daily escapement for Naknek Quijack landed at 225,600 on Friday. Breaking the Naknek Quijack escapement down by river, most of the fish came from the Naknek River, 106,000, which took that river over its minimum escapement goal for 2018. The Quijack River reported 94,000 fish escaped Friday, with an estimated 500,000 reds in river. For the Lagnak River, 25,000 escaped yesterday. Cumulative escapement for the Naknek Quijack is now 1.2 million. Total run there now stands at 2.8 million out of a preseason forecast of 16.6 million. As the carpenters said, we've only just begun there. Ugashik opened up on Friday to haul in 36,000 sockeye. That puts the season total catch at a hair below 400,000. At the Ugashik Tower yesterday, the crew counted escapement of 17,500 reds. season cumulative is 77,500. In-river estimate there is 20,000. That all brings Ugashik's total run so far to 497,000 out of a preseason forecast of 2.9 million. Pulling back to take in the whole bay, total harvest yesterday was 1.57 million sockeye. That puts our season total harvest so far to 15.56 million. Escapement across all five districts was 838,000 for a season total of 7 million. Adding in our in-river estimates of 640,000 fish puts 2018's total run at 23.2 million so far out of that giant preseason forecast of 51.28 million. Changing gears now, here are your latest numbers on sockeye per drift boat deliveries across the bay. Nooshigak stayed about where it was on Thursday to average 743 sockeye per delivery. Togiak saw 118 reds per delivery. Igigik dropped from Thursday to reach 389 sockeye per drift delivery on Friday. Naknakwijak also dropped, ending at 391 reds per delivery. Moving right along to vessel registration, here are those numbers as of 9 o'clock Saturday morning. Igigik is staying stable for the next couple of days. We currently have 307 permits registered on 250 vessels for Igigik. There's 57 D boats there. And in 48 hours' time, Igigik's registration numbers will stay right there. For Ugashik, right now, there are 135 permits on 103 boats. That means 32 are doubled up. In 2 days' time, we'll add 5 permits on 5 more boats in Ugashik, meaning D boats will stay right at 32. In Naknakwijak, there's 298 permits on 257 vessels, with 42 of those D boats. Naknakwijak will add 21 permits on 20 vessels in 48 hours' time. Looks like the Nooshigak registrations are growing slightly once again. Right now, permits stand at 904 on 682 vessels. There's 237 D boats in the Noosh. By Monday morning, 18 more permits on 16 boats are heading out to the district. For Togiak, we have 37 permits on 37 boats, and those numbers are going to remain stable at least through Monday morning. Looking back, we've climbed to a grand total of 1,681 permits on 1,313 vessels across all five districts as of Saturday morning. There's 368 D boats across Bristol Bay right now. In 48 hours' time, we'll push up to 1,725 permits, all those on 1,354 boats total, with 371 of those being doubled up. And that's your daily run summary for Saturday, July 7th, based on tallies of the Friday catch and escapement. We're going to take a short break now. We'll be back in just a moment to talk about Port Muller numbers.
Support for KDLG comes from Nomar in Homer, Alaska, working year-round to make gear for Alaska fishermen and offering brailer and slush bags for the fishing season. Information at nomaralaska.com or 1-800-478-8364.
We've only just begun to live, white lace and promises.
Welcome back to the Bristol Bay Fisheries Report. Moving south to the Port Muller test fishery, we just got their 8th stock composition analysis back from July 2nd and 3rd, estimating where the sockeye they're seeing out there are heading. Here are their percentages by river. For Ugashik, 0.6%. For Igigik, 17%. For Naknek River, 17% as well. For Alagnak, just 1.7%. The Kwijak River, 18%. Nooshigak River, also 18%. For the Wood, 24%. For Agushik, 4%. And finally, for the North Peninsula, Togiak and Kuskokwim, they didn't see any fish bound to those river systems. Let's turn now to Friday's raw count by station at the Port Muller test fishery. For the first time in a week, the research vessel, Pendalus, shifted offshore slightly. They skipped fishing at stations 2 and 4 on Friday. At station 6, they caught 3 fish in the 4.5-inch mesh and 4 fish in the 5 1/8-inch mesh. At station 8, they caught 3 in the 4.5 and 5 in the 5 1/8. Station 10 saw 16 in the 4.5-inch mesh, 13 in the 5 1/8. Station 12, 33 in the 4.5, 15 in the 5 1/8. Station 14, 12 in the 4.5, and 6 in the 5 1/8. Station 16 had 13 in the 4.5 and 4 in the 5 1/8. And finally, at station 18, they had a big haul with 29 in the 4.5 and 26 in the 5 1/8. For Friday, that total was 109 fish caught in the 4.5-inch mesh. They caught 73 in the 5 1/8-inch mesh. Mean daily catch index for Friday was 28 for stations 2 through 10. It stood at 24 on Thursday, 36 on Wednesday, and 48 on Tuesday. The mean daily catch index for Friday was 46 for stations 2 through 24. This is the Bristol Bay Fisheries Report on KDLG. We'll be back in a moment.
Deep Sea Fisheries Incorporated, working to provide top quality Alaskan seafood with a commitment to sustainable sourcing. Serving Bristol Bay salmon fishermen with the Big Creek Fisheries Shore Plant since 2008. More at deepseafisheries.com.
And welcome back. We're glad you tuned in to the weekend version of our Bristol Bay Fisheries Report. Thanks so much for sticking with us through the numbers. We've got a big announcement today from the Alaska Department of Fish and Game. The Naknek-Quijac District is closed. The Naknek River Special Harvest Area will open to drift gillnet gear tonight at 8 p.m. It's an announcement with a domino effect for all Bristol Bay districts. The Quijac River is tracking behind where it needs to be to meet its goal this season. Here's Travis Ellison, Area Management Biologist.
We are well behind the escapement goal curve for even the bottom end of 2 million. With what we've got through the counting tower, right now we're about 5 days behind the escapement goal curve to meet 2 million. Since yesterday, our in-river estimate has bumped up. We've had three decent tides of passage into the Quijac River. So now we're estimating about 500,000 in the river, but that takes about 2 days for them to get past the tower.
Once those in-river fish are counted as escapement, the Quijac will still be 2 days behind where it needs to be for a sustainable sockeye return. Ellison, this is by far the smallest run in recent history.
What we're missing right now from Quijac is the fish that came in 2013 from that brood year, which was a poor run. It was pretty low escapement. The Quijac was under 2.1 million. And so looking at the age comps from both the catch and the escapement tower, we're missing the 2.2s and the 1.3s, particularly the 2.2s. So that is another indicator besides just lack of fish that we've seen in district that also tells us that we're missing some major components of that run, and it's almost certainly below forecast.
The Naknek River, on the other hand, met the bottom goal of its escapement goal yesterday of 800,000 reds. By closing the district and moving boats into the mouth of the Naknek River, Quijac sockeye will get a chance to swim unfished to their natal streams to spawn while the fishermen harvest Naknek reds. Ellison said he's aiming to keep the closure as short as possible.
I'm hoping it'll be just for a few days. I think we're going to need to be in for a minimum of 2, which would be 4 tides. I'm looking at, we're going to start off with 2 drift gillnet periods, and then we might try 1 set gillnet period, and then go back to drift.
Closing the Naknek-Quijac District and opening the Naknek River Special Harvest Area initiates a cascade of regulations around the bay.
I'll start with Bristol Bay as a whole. All districts, once the NERSHA opens at 8 p.m. tonight, all vessels, this applies to dual drift vessels, will need to get the extra 50 fathoms off of the boat. So they'll be restricted back to normal, which is 150 fathoms in all districts. Within the Naknek River Special Harvest Area, drift vessels will still be allowed 150 fathoms on the boat, but only 75 fathoms can be in the water at one time. And then for set gillnet periods, it's kind of similar where they're allowed 75 fathoms on a set gillnet boat, but only 37.5 fathoms may be fished at one time.
And on top of that, when the Naknek River Special Harvest Area opens, it triggers the Igigik District to close and open the Igigik River Special Harvest Area, beginning with driftnet gear tonight at 8 p.m. And now let's turn away from fish numbers for a moment to fish art. You've definitely seen Abayu Moore's work across Bristol Bay. She's painted murals in Dillingham, Igiagig, Bethel, Neustriahawk, and that's just to name a few. I took a road trip to her off-the-grid cabin near Alucknagik to see what inspires her to paint. She also gave me an incredible description of a painting she made for President Barack Obama just a few years ago to thank him for protecting Bristol Bay.
How do I define myself as an artist? I'd say that when I first moved back home, it was easy to pick my subject matter, and I really focused a lot on salmon. And that kind of led more into thinking about, well, why am I painting these salmon? Why are they more, or why are they so important to me? And it all boiled down to, it's part of our life, it's who we are. And what that led to was, well, who am I? Well, I'm a Yupik person from Bristol Bay. And then, well, what is that? And, well, what does it mean to do that and be that? And that goes back to our subsistence way of life and what was my role in it and what were my goals for becoming more Yupik and rooted to who we were. I like to live my life in the way that my life is my work. And so if I don't get to start practicing the subsistence way of life, then I'm not doing my research to paint what I love and what I want to share with others. Moving to Alucknagik was definitely an intentional move. It was, do I want to live in Dillingham and do I want to just have a job where I'm working 8 to 5, 9 to 5, and dedicating my life to a job? Or do I want to live closer to some, or live in a community that was a little bit closer to subsistence living and village life? And so just coming up the road was a no-brainer because I've always wanted to live on a lake where I just have an incredible view and feel like I could be inspired to be outside. And my theory in all of this is that with depression on the rise and people who have things really easily just available to them, like light switches, just, you know, you wake up in the morning, flick on the lights, you don't have that extra moment to realize how lucky you are to have that. And so these extra steps in the morning where I need to start the generator and get all of that going, it gets me outside no matter what the weather is. And so when it's beautiful out, it's kind of, wow, I'm so lucky to live here. And when it's raining, it's more like, wow, I'm so happy to feel the rain on my face. This like feels way better than it looks from inside. We should maybe come outside today. This one is Our Way of Life, and it was 2015 when I painted this. It was actually a commission. There's like a few different nonprofits that were involved in the purchase, and they sent it as a gift to President Obama when he closed Bristol Bay to offshore oil leasing and drilling. So this was like a thank you gift to him. And they just let me go with whatever I was feeling in my heart. And so I thought, well, if he cares for our way of life, and this was a lot of his reasoning for doing this for us, then he should see what has helped us to preserve or ensure that our future generations are able to participate in it. And so when I was painting it, or just even drawing up this concept, I was thinking like, well, what are the best parts of subsistence? Like when we're doing fish, what are the absolute best parts? And when you're seeing fish go into your net, you just get this, each splash is like a splash of butterflies just like bursting in your stomach. You know, you're just so happy and you can't help but laugh, like you're tickled. And so you're out there and you're in the water and the water's kind of cold and the lady's pulling in the net and you're just so thankful at the same time too. And it's exhilarating and maybe you're feeling some fish. If they're so thick, you're feeling them kind of bump on your legs and you're thinking, this is just impressive and amazing. And so I wanted to kind of show her joy there with just her wonder. And in the background, there's a grandpa and two grandchildren and they're helping with the net and getting some of their own fish, and the kids are learning how to pull the fish out of the net. And if you've ever been with kids picking fish at a net kind of is a ordeal sometimes. You know, it could take an adult just a couple seconds, but the kids are wondering, you know, they're exploring it. And it takes someone like a grandparent who's going to be patient and make sure that that experience is a positive one. So the kids then associate happiness and this time that they got to spend with someone that they loved. So the next year, they don't think of it as work. They're thinking of it as just a happy, happy time.
Right, the time they shared with their grandparents.
Exactly. And you have someone already working in the smokehouse, in the drying rack. And they're putting fish up. And just that in itself on a nice day, you just it's so rewarding. You're so fulfilled when you see the work that you've put into it and it's going well and the fish are drying how you want them to dry. None of them are getting wasted, but you're also babying them and looking through all of the cracks just in case any bugs are getting in there and then kind of clean them off. You know, it's like gardening. It's like when you plant a seed and you're wanting it to grow well and have a nice thick little stalk when you're bringing it up and you're watering it. Ooh, it's a little bit dry, but you want to make sure that it's gonna make it all the way to, you know, something delicious,
right, to the end product. Yes.
And then yeah, at the same time, like someone else is coming down with the next tote. They're towing a tote on the four-wheeler, and then some other kids are running behind them, and so it shows this kind of community aspect of what subsistence fishing is. You have the small house in the background, and if you're really thinking into it, you're thinking like, all right, there's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 people are going to be sleeping in that little tiny house back there, and there's only one outhouse. Oh my gosh, the line for that in the morning, and like, what do they do? I don't know.
They have to make it work somehow.
The little boys are just going to go around the house, you know, and it's more of like the women's outhouse, I guess. Uh-huh. I don't know.
Oh, I love that. I would not have picked up on that, the outhouse detail at all. So I'm really glad you pointed that out.
Yeah.
That's the tote with the fish.
So this is a tote. Usually if you're beach fishing, there's a lot of gravel. So you'll fill a tote up with water and then you can put the fish in there and get them nice and rinsed off before you bring them up onto your splitting table. And that way you're not, you know, hurting your knives with rocks and stuff like that, and also you're not gonna dry rocks into your fish and break a tooth or something.
Right. Anything else about this painting that stands out to you?
While I'm painting things like this, it's more of, all right, I'm gonna start with this. So then it's starting with the fish and thinking, all right, well, what else could be there? Oh, there's corks. What else? Oh, a woman pulling it in. Oh, a family right here. What else am I missing? Like the birds in the sky. And so it's almost like a meditative experience where you're closing your eyes and you're envisioning and placing everything that you need in that one moment, trying to go all the way down to the bugs that are buzzing by you and the wind. Where's the wind coming from, and how do I paint the grass? Which way is the wind going, and how does that sound to me? And you're trying to capture all of those feelings and put it into like a colorful picture so people could somehow at least grab a little bit of what you're experiencing for real in the outdoors.
This is what you did from growing up, from like your earliest summers. You remember doing this with your family?
Parts of it, but parts of it is also like seeing what other families did. And so this scene actually reminds me a lot more of when I commercial fished in Ecoc. And I was able to go there for a couple of summers with our neighbors. And there's just families that go there. It's this, you know, in the wintertime, no one's living there, maybe a cannery watchman. But in the summertime, just all of these new families move in there and you're watching how everyone does something, things a little bit different, and what they're doing to incorporate and how they're learning from each other and taking what you know yourself. And it's almost like this is the ideal from what I've experienced myself to what I've seen to kind of trying to manifest what I see the best scenario for people. Mm-hmm. A good painting will have several different scenes in it, so your eyes kind of capture something new each time you take a glance.
I mean, I could totally see that, like all these little minute, the outhouse, like I said earlier. I just thought that was another little house or shed or something, and I didn't think about seven people sharing one hole in the ground, basically.
Look, I miscounted. There's actually eight.
Even better. Even more of a challenge.
art is so important to our people, and we are so incredibly gifted naturally. We don't even know it. We'll think that we can't draw, but we whip out a pencil and suddenly we're thinking, holy moly, I have like this hidden gift inside of me and I just haven't been brave enough to share it with the world. And you don't have to do that. Statistics come out and we always are made out to be these really impoverished communities that just don't have anything. Something that I hope that other people see is that we could employ ourselves through our own small businesses. Being in our communities that practice subsistence and the subsistence way of life is so important to like keep our people and our culture going in a way that is healthy and can bring us back emotionally with our mental well-being to the place that we should have never been taken away from.
A big thanks to Abayu Moore for taking us into her studio in Aleknagik and painting that vivid image in our minds of her work for President Barack Obama. If you want to see the painting and more of her work, we'll have it on our website at kdlg.org. You're listening to the Bristol Bay Fisheries Report on KDLG Public Radio. Stick with us.
Support for KDLG comes from Alaska Eagle Eye, locally owned and operated with car, truck, tool, equipment, and adventure gear rentals at the King Salmon Airport. Committed to getting you on your way in Bristol Bay. Reservations at 246-CARS. Support for KDLG is made possible by generous support from the Bristol Bay Fishermen's Association, advocating for fishermen. Online at bristolbayfishermen.org.
I don't know how this happened. In fact, I am so disappointed, but we don't have any messages today to our fleet out there on the water. Come on, guys. We want to get your message to your friends or your family members who are out fishing. You can email Avery, that's A-V-E-R-Y, at kdlg.org, or call the station at 907-842-5281. You can get in touch with me at austin@kdlg.org. We want to hear your feedback and your suggestions. So, no messages, but we do have the answer to yesterday's riddle about knights and knaves. If you recall, you're on an island where there are two types of people, knights who always tell the truth, and knaves who always lie. You're approached by two people. The first one points to the second and says, he is a knave. The second one then says, neither of us are knaves. What are they actually? Here's the answer. The first one's a knight who can't lie. The second one's a knave who's lying when he says, neither of us are knaves. But there are so many knights and knaves walking around this island, so here's another riddle for you to ponder before tomorrow's show. Here we go. Listen carefully. On the island of knights and knaves, you come to a fork in the road with one man standing before each path. You know that one of them is a knight and the other is a knave. You also know that one path leads to freedom and the other path leads to certain death. You can ask one of the men one question. What do you ask to determine the path to freedom? I'll read that for you one more time, just in case you weren't paying attention at the beginning. Ready? You might want to jot this down, talk with your friends. If you're out there on the boat, put your heads together and figure it out. On the island of knights and knaves, you come to a fork in the road with one man standing before each path. You know that one of them is a knight and the other is a knave. You also know that one path leads to freedom and the other path leads to certain death. You can ask one of the men one question. What do you ask to determine the path to freedom? Here's a hint. You don't need to figure out which person is a knight and which one is a knave to figure out which path leads to freedom. So think on that for 24 hours. We'll have the answer for you on tomorrow's show. Before we call it a wrap on this weekend edition of the Bristol Bay Fisheries Report, just a few housekeeping notes for you. We have a lovely Instagram account and we're also on Facebook and Twitter. Search KDLG Public Radio for updates, great photos, and wonderful videos between all of our fish reports and newscasts. Finally, I've got your Marine Zone forecast for Bristol Bay. Today we'll see light winds early, becoming a southeast wind at 20 knots, seas 2 feet. Tonight, there's a southerly wind blowing at 20 knots, seas growing to 5 feet with rain. Watch out on Sunday, there's a small craft advisory for Bristol Bay. Southerly winds will blow at 25 knots and seas at 8 feet with lots of rain. For Sunday night, south winds at 25 knots, seas climbing to 10 feet. Looks like that rough weather pattern will hold Monday through Wednesday. Southwest winds at 20 knots and seas at 8 feet. So be careful if you're out there on the seas. That's all for tonight. I'm Austin Fast. Big thanks to KDLG News Director Avery Lill for that great update from Travis Ellison on Eastside Fishing. Thank you so much to our underwriters and the individuals who contribute financially to make this show possible. We couldn't do it without you. Whether you're on land or on sea, stay safe and meet Avery Lill back here tomorrow at 1:30.